Hello, beautiful people. My guest today is Michael Sikand. Michael is the creator of Our Future, which is a business news platform for Gen Z and millennials. Our Future's pulling in more than 100 million views. That's right, 100 million, and has over 400,000 subscribers across their different platforms. They started on TikTok and YouTube Shorts, and they have absolutely dominated the short form content. And so, because I'm going into short form content myself, I figure why not learn from the best people who have done that? And similarly to me, Michael has a background in journalism. He started doing a podcast, which produced more than 150 episodes in a year. And we had an incredible conversation about his background, his past, and what he plans to do with Our Future. So if you enjoyed this episode, let me know on Twitter, at @HeyDannyMiranda. I really appreciate you listening. And now let's get right into the episode with Michael Sikand.
Interesting people, thought-provoking conversations, nutrition for your brain. Journey through the minds of the world's top performers and discover what it really takes to achieve your highest version. This is the Danny Miranda Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Absolute pleasure to have you here. And we have many, many similarities, which I'm sure we'll dive into here today. But before we do, you met Elon Musk when you were 12. What did you ask him, and what was that experience like?
I don't know how you picked up on that detail, but I did meet Elon at age 12. So my buddy in school, his dad was on the board of Tesla. And my parents won an auction package. This was in 2012, as I said, before Elon was like bigger than God. And got to go down to SpaceX, get a tour, and meet with Elon for, I think it was 15 minutes. So I went, and my dad had told us, hey, you guys, like, make sure you come prepared, right, with like a lot of questions. The question that I asked him was, how is SpaceX able to compete with NASA? And he corrected me and said that NASA's actually our client. So I felt a little stupid. But at the end of the day, I think he understood the question, which was, how could a private space company possibly compete with, you know, like a government agency? So I think my sister actually asked the best question. She said, you want to go to Mars so bad, aren't you going to go? And he's like, well, you know, if I were to die, you know, it might not be good for the company. But he had his son with him, Griffith, and he was like, you know, maybe we'll send up Griffin or something. It was pretty funny. He was a really, really amazing guy, like so captivating. And like, he's like a big guy. Like he's like, he was buff, he's a big, big guy, like 6'2". And, you know, it was pretty insane that we got to meet with him. No photo though. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
No photo.
I can't believe it. Knowing you and the media prowess you have.
Yeah, I mean, dude. Yeah.
That photo could go for some serious money in about 20 years, don't you think?
Maybe, dude, but those were pre-IG days. Like, that was honestly pre, like, people, like, you know, needing to just document every fucking thing, you know?
Yeah, and we could go into a whole riff about that, but I'm curious, you grew up in, I think, the Northern California area, right?
Yeah, North Cal.
Yeah, so there's a lot of... I just brought up this idea with Paul Graham, and he's like, every city whispers something to you. And he has this idea that New York whispers, make more money. Los Angeles whispers, be more famous. And San Francisco in the NorCal area, to me, whispers, like, have a greater impact on the world. Do you think that you inherited some of that level to change or impact the world from growing up in that area?
I think certainly being exposed to the Silicon Valley ecosystem, it's less change the world and more like shoot for the moon, right? Like, went to a pretty good school. I had the luxury to go there, and, you know, the parents all had nice cars, and they were all, you know, had started software companies, you know, right place, right time in the Valley, and, you know, had settled there and had kids and were sending them to the best school in the whole region. So I think being influenced by that and, you know, just seeing the mentality these parents and these kids had to pursue excellence, And I think being around all the startup culture, like my school was, I was lucky enough, my school had like a business and entrepreneurship department. So we were making business plans and doing pitch decks years before most kids got to. And that was very formative for me. So yeah, I think it was always a mentality of building something, starting a company, right? Just being in that read. Less like, let's start a company, you know, it's going to change the world. Obviously, you know, that's part of it, but it's more like, let's start something.
Hmm. What were some of the early businesses you started?
Dude, I didn't have any working businesses in high school. You know, one of them was just kind of a pitch. We were doing some, you know, some kind of device to repel sharks using electromagnetic technology. You know, we were also working on a study app in high school wherein like it would aggregate quiz questions that were taken from these outdated textbook websites. So if you look at like Pearson, McDougall Little, or these big textbook publishers, they have these really good supplementary resources on these websites. But the problem was they're in these like crappy, you know, like old, you know, HTML, like terrible websites. And we wanted to port that content into an app that would enable kids to find like quiz questions on their textbooks. Ended up like going to Japan. That's a whole nother story. Went to Japan and pitched that business, and we didn't even have like a prototype or anything. And we pitched, like me and my buddy, you know, we pitched in front of an audience of like 2,000 Japanese people. I don't think any of them understood what we were saying, but you know, we were just some kids from California who's, you know, we're supposed to be involved with this thing. Our future was really like, I also worked on a business in my freshman year of college, which was to connect professors at universities with companies for like to collaborate on consulting projects. So I wanted to be a middleman and use being a middleman to better improve the world, because I saw all the research my professors in the business school were doing, and it was just so theoretical. And I'm like, what are they doing this research that like no one cares about? Like no one's actually adopting this research and implementing it into their daily lives. It just sits in a journal and never gets seen again. And that's who judges it. So I wanted to create more collaboration between the business world and the university system. I found it quite difficult, and you know, it didn't pan out, but I had a lot of fun. And then I started Our Future on COVID hit. Mm. So that's a little overview.
We'll get to Our Future, but I want to stay on high school for 1 second, because one of the similarities that we both have is we both did journalism in high school. How did you get into that?
Yeah, dude. I think my mom was like, yo, go and be part of journalism. Everyone else had joined in freshman year. I joined in sophomore year. So I joined in sophomore year, and I really enjoyed it. I even covered the Trump election at the polls. Like I did some broadcast stuff there. I was also on the social media side, and I was, you know, loved to write and was able to find good sources. And then, you know, that carried into, you know, doing the podcast. And now, like I very much am, you know, a journalist as part of my career, right? Like I'm a journalist, and you know, however, you know, I wouldn't say I'm on like a, you know, like a, the level of like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, but you know, journalism is about telling stories and reporting on the world. And like today, like I wrote up some stories about that crypto hack, the Bitix one, and the couple, and I did a story on that ad we saw last night with Coinbase about the QR code. So it really, all that knowledge is compounded into, you know, it was a seed for being able to tell a good story and, you know, being versed enough and trained to like, you know, find the right sources and tell a succinct story.
Yeah. So when you look for a story to tell, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for a really, really provocative hook, because a story, there's a lot of great stories. There's a million great stories. Anything can be a great story. But unless there's a way to describe it in like one sentence that's going to make someone want to watch it for like 30 to 60 seconds, that's really like my meter. So I've become pretty good at identifying stories that are going to work on short form. And yeah, I really look for these, you know, these evocative one-liners. You know, you look at the PayPal mafia, you know, these billionaires are part of a mafia. The Gates and app there. Bill Gates invented your iPhone. What? Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher is a terrible actor when you compare it with his investing. Steve Ballmer. This guy made $54 billion working a 9-to-5. We've got This billion eats like shit. We've got Nike lost $1 billion with one word. We've got, and over here, we've got this kid is about to become the youngest CEO of a public company. There it is.
Yeah, it's fascinating because that those are imprinted in your brain. How many times do you script and write through and create these 60-second clips? Like how many times do you go through it?
You know, it takes a few hours to write each script. I have a person who's helping me now. Like I really like created like a Henry, you know, like a supply chain with how our content is created now. The only place I spend my time now is creative. So I'm looking for good stories. I'm telling people to research stories for me so they can give me the facts and I can convert those into stories and scripts with my own touch. For me, you know, the story is, you know, like a variety of news sources condensed down. And it's really hard to write a 30 to 60 second script. People think it's like easy, but what Steve Jobs always said is like short is always harder than long. Like simple is always harder than complex. And, you know, anyone who went over their word count on essays can tell you that about that in high school. So it's an art form. It's, you know, it's working out in the gym every single day and you start to see results over time. You know, this isn't something that I can just teach to someone. This has been ingrained into my mind. And like when you become a storyteller, you have this spidey sense. And, you know, a lot of the times it's one detail that will make a story. And it's all about how can I take that one detail and build a narrative around that one detail to make that the focal point of the story. You know, I was just watching some random video about Mark Cuban, and the video is about, you know, who is Mark Cuban? But there was this one clip where he was like, yeah, I have three phones. And he brings out his three phones. And I was like, why does Mark Cuban have three phones? And like, that was the whole thing of the story. So I used the fact that he has three phones to somehow, you know, tell a story about him, right? And then I even talked about how I cold emailed him, and I was actually just cold emailing him again about my business. So it's like, it's really like sometimes that one detail that you're looking for, like that one punchline, you know, that's what I'm looking for. But there's other videos we do that don't have that, right? Like Dennis Washington, that's the richest person in every series. Mm-hmm. You know, the Instacart CEO is like, startup hacks you need to know. Damon John was like, you won't believe how Damon John did X. So for the most part, we're going for those big provocative hooks. But of course, we have like series-based content that insulates you from needing hooks.
Mm. Yeah, I like that about picking up the small detail. I realize that I also do that for researching this podcast. You need to be able to look at a throwaway line that someone said and go deeper on that because there might be a lot of juice there. So give me the story for you meeting Jay Leno.
Jay Leno. Yeah. I actually met Jay Leno for the first time when I was 8 years old. So he's a huge car guy. And being in NorCal, we have Monterey Car Week every year. And Monterey Car Week is where the world's, you know, finest automobiles congregate for a week down by Pebble Beach in that area. And me and my dad, you know, me and my little brother, we always just dreamed of cars. And this was before we, as a family, you know, my dad always dreamed of having a Ferrari. My dad grew up in India and emigrated to the UK before emigrating to America to start a business. He always dreamed of having a Ferrari, and he did get it, but it wasn't until I think 4 or 5 years after that. But we would go and we would dream, right, of these cars. And Jay Leno was there. So my dad like went up to him. He's like, yo, will you sign my kid's magazine? And then my dad actually was able to, you know, execute on his dream of building his own car and got on Jay Leno's garage. And I could just tag along into LA and Burbank and got to be at the Jay Leno's garage. And I got a photo with him.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm curious if you have any intention to bring some of your own stories into the Our Future brand.
Dude, there's a huge advantage to being a brand. Like I want Our Future to be like a news source. So like I want people to think of it like Forbes or Business Insider or Wall Street Journal. There isn't a particular reporter or host, of course, Anderson Cooper part of CNN, but it's still CNN, right? So like I want to be the Portnoy of the Barstool, like the central personality, of course, and the founder, but I have the brand really leads because the brand I want to be a branded house with a lot of properties under that house instead of being a, you know, kind of individual creator, right? That's where seeing, you know, I want to build a brand that has a lot of creators underneath it in this particular business, in this particular segment. So for me, I think it's important to add in some touches here and there, but for the most part, I've stayed away from including my personal life. So I really am kind of an objective reporter in that sense. I mean, there's a few times that I've inserted like who I am and, you know, hit me up or whatever. But for the most part, it's just being the subjective storyteller and removing myself. I think the problem is that while we attract huge audiences with our content, nobody's actually bought into me. Of course, they love the way I present stories and they love watching it, but nobody is like invested into my journey. Mm-hmm. And as we move forward, it's important to have a strategy, you know, to create a character of yourself, because if you're not kind of a character, then people are really just there for the content and they'll leave you, you know, at any moment, like they'll be very fickle. So, you know, having people bought into you is like a moat in content, and it's something that we need to get better at. I wouldn't say it's a huge priority, but as we scan, as my time frees up as CEO, it's all about how can I create more personal brand around myself. So that's a big part of the trajectory. You know, I'm gonna, you know, post you know, Instagram lifestyle content and get, you know, right on Twitter once I have some people that can support that, and I'll you know, be writing on LinkedIn more instantly. So it's all about like, where can I spend my time? And right now my time is best spent, you know, as it is right now, which is kind of living in the content and, you know, working on the business side and the partnership side. So we'll get there.
Yeah. And on that point, you mentioned becoming a character when building a personal brand. And I just want to maybe push back against that a little bit, because I think it's important to be yourself, and you can kind of get wrapped up in the idea of a character, or this is who I'm supposed to be and this is what will resonate with people, and lose yourself in the process. And I don't know if you meant it that deeply, but I just want to throw that out there because I think it's important with a lot of people in the personal brand space.
Dude, there's, I mean, the reason I like this industry is a lot of vanity, right? Like it's a lot of vanity. It's a lot of vanity metrics. And like, I'm in the industry for like reasons, right? Like I'm, you know, I like the attention, like, you know, like not like digitally, I like it. Like I'm not going to ever like, I don't tell people about what I do, or, you know, I typically don't unless they ask or know me. But on social, like, you know, it feels good to show the world what you're up to and to show them that YouTube play button and put that everywhere you have it, right?
I don't see it in the background over here.
Dude, it's over there. It's not, it's pinned up yet, but it feels good. I like doing it. I like it. But at the same time, I don't know. For me, like, I think I was never like the like quarterback of my high school football team, or like, you know, like the dopest, you know, coolest guy. And like, there's part of me that has always had like a chip on my shoulder. Like, you know, I want to be huge. Like, I want to be huge. I want everyone to know me. But you know, there's also a part of me that like, I'm not really like that. Like I'm trying to build a brand that's not like around my personal self. So I see the tactical benefits of personal brand, and I see the kind of, you know, everybody likes to kind of dip in their own, you know, validation, and they, people revel in what you think other people think of you when you make a post, and it feels good sometimes, but it's also,
what do you mean by that?
People revel in what they think other people think of them. So if you make like a, you know, you're hitting on those comments and those likes, and like you think, oh, when people see this post I put on social media, they'll think of me in this way next time they'll think about me. And it's all part of this ego, this character you're building up, right? And you might love that character. Like for me, like I've always loved, like, you know, I've lived my life like with this passion for various movies, like The Dark Knight and Wolf of Wall Street and these, you know, these movies and Ferris Bueller's Day Off and whatnot, right? So I like to think of myself as a character in a movie a little bit, but you know, I'm hoping that it's a genuine, you know, genuine journey. It's not, you know, just completely Hollywood, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to see you get wrapped up in that game. There are better games to play, but I understand that some people playing that game is what they need to do to ascend to a new level. I think Jim Carrey said everybody should try to get rich and famous to realize that rich and fame is not the answer.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I've definitely matured a lot since, I've built up definitely more social awareness since I started. I remember I would just like spam everybody with my shit at first, as every group chat, like, you know, every text message, just text everybody. Yeah, listen to my podcast. You know. I don't know. Just youthful optimism. I was feeling like I was doing something really important, just starting a podcast during COVID. So, you know, if I thought I was important, you know, it's important, and I did it. I don't know. I was just, you know, you look back and you're like, yeah, I was a little cringy. But, you know, if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you launch too late.
Hmm. What are you trying to prove?
From a business level, I'm trying to prove that, you know, business can be fun. Like, business can be, you know, I'm trying to build just a better source of business content, like for what I would want to consume if I was to have found this brand on social media or whatever. Like, I want to build the best source of business content for young people in the world. Like, we're making business content more engaging, more entertaining, more fun than I think anybody else has. That's what I think the DNA of our brand is. For a personal level, I don't know. I just want to I want to do big stuff. Like, people have always, like, in high school, they're like, dude, Mike, you're going to be a billionaire, bro. Like, dude, we got to go, you know, we got to go on a yacht, like, you know, one day with you. And I've always kind of wanted to live out that perception, I guess, and, like, you know, actually make good on it. Like, I've always been a kid, I was always telling people about my big ideas, and I wanted people to, you know, but, like, it doesn't matter what you say, like, it's what you do. So I want to just build, you know, something huge and enjoy the process. I'm really enjoying this so far. I want to build it in something massive. You know, I don't have a particular goal. I don't have a particular monetary goal. I mean, I'm just finding something that works, that I really enjoy, and that I'm going to have a ton of fun scaling over the next few years.
Why do you think that your high school friends said that you were going to be a billionaire?
I don't know. I was always really into business. Like, I was always reading those business books. You know, I recited The Wolf of Wall Street. Like, you know, I was that kid, and, like, did DECA and was winning business competitions and suiting up and taking photos of those trophies and whatnot. And I was always, like, very, very ambitious. And I think I got that from, like, my dad is an entrepreneur and being in the environment I grew up in.
It's cool. And I like how you were talking about reflecting on your journey when you just started. What do you think that yourself 1 year from now is going to say about what you're currently doing or thinking in this moment?
They're going to think that I'm thinking way too short term, probably. I really am thinking right now in, like, a few year horizon. Because I'm exactly what I need. We're actually raising funding right now for our future. I know exactly what I need to, like, get to a certain level, like a pretty legitimate business in the next few years. But it's like the more of the 10-year, 15-year vision that is going to be, you know, the one that maybe a year from now I'm thinking about more. Like, I'm just going to be thinking farther into the future. And that's because I'm just conquering uncertainties. So I'm just trying to set myself up right now for the success possible. And just do that. And, like, as I go on this journey, I'm freeing up mental space to think farther. Like, I remember seeing what Jeff Bezos said. He's like, yeah, I never think about the current quarter. I'm thinking about the next quarter and the year, the four quarters down the road or way in the future. That's where I want to live. And right now I haven't successfully broken out of the day to day, but we're getting there. And, you know, that's where I want to go. I want to keep ascending higher and Vin. And you, as a founder, you start here and you do absolutely everything. I used to edit all my own videos, do absolutely everything. I didn't have anybody helping me. It was just my ambition and my drive. And then over time, I started to run the craft. I brought on a team. I delegated. I built systems. I built infrastructure. I built systems to make sure, oh, what if I get sick and can't make a video? How do I get a video out? Build a backlog. Get another content creator. So if I drop off the face of the earth, the brand keeps going. Like, you keep going incremental, and then so you can get to a certain level of innovative mindset, right?
I wonder if Jeff Bezos was thinking, when his long-term thinking actually really began. Obviously, he was long-term thinking from day one, but like, how much can you actually be long-term thinking when you're building a website and putting, so
you're
just in the beginning of it. And I don't know if him in the beginning of his journey was actually thinking about 2015, you know, how could you predict? How could you know? And so, you know, I would cut yourself some slack there.
You don't know what's going to, you don't know until like it gets, things get, you know, we're in sight. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of value to, you know, trying to look as far into the future as possible and like believing in the long-term vision as opposed to, you know, just kind of some short-term goals, like, you know, being able to buy like a, you know, a Porsche or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're doing a good job at the, at thinking both in the short-term and the long-term. And I want to know what it was like for you when the first short clip pops off, because just to set some context for some people, you were grinding out this podcast, 150 episodes. It's not really clicking in the way that you want it to click with people and the audience and building it. And I'm facing this right now. I'm looking at myself. I'm doing 200 episodes. I love the craft of interviewing, but it's not clicking in the way. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And but it's not clicking with a wide audience like I want it to and intend it to in the future. But you then change your strategy somewhere around August, I believe, where you're like, okay, I'm going to start posting short clips, the story format that you've, that I know the brand as. And one pops off. I think it was Mark Zuckerberg humiliated Elon Musk.
That
went 14 million.
No. This was, Mark Zuckerberg is a confirmed killer. That was the first one.
That was the first one that popped
Mark
off?
Mark Zuckerberg is a confirmed killer. 1.6 million. Yeah.
On TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was weird. Cause on YouTube, that one only got 2,500 the first time you posted. I know you posted
the first time I posted it. I just posted it again. It got what, 5-6 million?
I know. That's the crazy thing. The first time it's the same video, and the first time it got so much less. You could check the stats right now if you don't believe me.
Yeah, dude. Let me check. I mean, what did it got? 4.2 2 weeks ago from a video I made in August.
4.2 million. Mm-hmm. And look at the first time you posted that.
Yeah.
On YouTube, scroll all the way down. You posted that video twice.
Yeah. So that was before like we'd been ingratiated with the Shorts algorithm.
Of course. So I'm just, So I just point that out. Like on YouTube Shorts, the first one that went off was Mark Zuckerberg humiliated Elon Musk. But Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, you're right. It did go off. Yeah, it went off? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but TikTok, you knew you had something on TikTok. And take me through that moment.
Dude, it was sick. I was just, all I wanted to do is build like a media company. Like I wanted to do something innovative. Like I wanted to like build, I was like, I'm building the go-to business brand for Gen Z. And like, I had like 400 people listening and like maybe like a third of them were like over 40 because they loved those, they ate up those interviews, I guess. So when I saw
your parents and their friends,
I guess. When I saw that video popped off, I'm like, this is it. I'm like, tell these short little stories about business. Like no one's ever seen it like this. Like, this is like so much better. Like, why do you care about all the other fluff? Like this great story will tell you something about a CEO. And that video just had all the elements it needed. It had like a crazy personality. I used to painstakingly design the footage, and I can look back and just like, it's like a very short video, right? So it's Mark Zuckerberg is a confirmed killer, right? Was the hook, which was ridiculous. Everybody thought that he might have murdered someone. And I said, you know, we all know billionaires have some crazy diets, you know, Steve Jobs, Warren Buffett, eating carrots, McDonald's, but none compared to Mark Zuckerberg. In 2011, he started a challenge to only eat animals he killed himself. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey confirmed this, recalling that Zuckerberg used a laser gun to kill a goat. So that was like retention, like that crazy fact got him in the middle. There's footage of him using a bow and arrow and a spear. And if you know anything about Zuck's business strategy, he's killed his fair share of competing startups. So the hunt might say more about him than we realize. That like,
so good.
That is everything you need, right? Like I didn't even, people were saying, oh, he didn't kill someone. You're a liar. You're a clickbaiter. And that's when I got, that is so many negative comments. People were ripping me apart. I don't even look at the comments, but like, I was,
but that's
like,
good.
I
that
said
feeds.
It twice. I said he killed shit twice. I said he killed competing startups. And I said that he killed a goat. So you know what? If you can't understand the creativity necessary to tell a story about business that would normally be like boring and Business Insider, then get out of here. I did it. I got the mass audience.
Yeah.
I got the mass audience.
And you can't be upset about that. You have to be excited that those people are feeding, commenting, which pushes it to more people. That's a good thing that they're disagreeing with you.
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, dude, that video hit and I was like, I'm going all in. Just like how I went all in on the podcast.
Yeah.
But this time I had something that was growing like in front of my eyes. I would just grind my ass off, dude. Like that summer I was at home. I was like, no one will stop me. No one will stop me. No one will stop me. I just need to sit here and make these videos. And I know that this thing will be big. And I grinded and I grinded and I would check TikTok all day and night. And I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked. And I was so excited about it that I would go and like run miles and miles and miles on the track near my house just because I was so excited about what I was doing. Like I just had so much energy. It was just like when I started the podcast. When I started the podcast, I started running, just running, 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 thinking about how excited I was. And then the same thing happened again, the cycle again. I don't do that anymore. I wish I still had that euphoria of thinking, oh my God, I'm making it work. Like, I don't know. It's just, it only happens at certain stages in your entrepreneurial life cycle, wherein, you know, and like, I don't know. It sucks that like, I depend on like, you know, the thoughts of my success, like to be like super, super, physical and be able to run really long, but dude, and I just kept going and like, yeah, dude, I went from this school year. I've been at school. I've been a full-time student at the same time as building this company. We went from zero to over 450,000 combined subscribers and over 400 million views since, you know, August.
It's no joke, man. And you could see the work you're putting in and it's a beautiful thing to witness. And it inspired me because here I am looking at you with this very similar path as me. I'm like, I got to hop on this trend, but do things that are authentic to me. Do short videos that are real to me.
And so you've been doing well. You work with Bojan. Do you work with Bojan? And
Yeah.
Dude.
So I know he's a beast. So what I, so
shout out Bojan. We made some money together.
He's a beast. So what I did though, before I wrote my scripts is I looked at yours at the most successful videos you did and I copied them. Like I typed them out and I said, okay, this is the hook. This is what's going on here. And I'm just looking at the things that you do so well. And so I wanted to thank you for that. And it's just cool to have a mold that you can copy, not copy, but you know what I'm talking about. And that's really helpful. So thank you, man.
It feels good. There's untapped. There's a lot of white space, man. Like a lot of white space for young people in business. There isn't creating good content for it. So yeah, dude. Like even when I started my podcast, I saw people starting podcasts, literally mimicking our future exactly how it was, and that wasn't even anything. And people were mimicking this brand.
Yeah.
And people were mimicking and people were studying it. And it was just like this little podcast. And I interviewed people on cold email, right? Like, and now, you know, we see plenty of copycats now. And I'm not saying you're a copycat, but people who model content with business and kind of the storytelling format, what we do, but that's natural.
Yeah. What I think is so powerful is taking that and applying it to something else. Like I'm going to take that and apply that to creators.
Podcast clips. Dude, you have... You've done really well in short form, haven't you?
I mean, I don't know.
Your TikTok was popping, right?
No, Bojan was
telling me about that. What was popping for you? IG?
No, nothing really. Like I haven't had any viral hits or anything like anything
dude,
to
I
your
thought,
level.
Dude, maybe that was another guy that Bojan was working with. I thought that was you, but I mean, you already have over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And you're looking to post shorts and stuff, so.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, and another thing that I noticed a similarity between us is the obsessiveness Like,
yeah, dude,
you'll just go. Once you have this idea, nothing will stop you. You know that the only thing stopping you is your own work ethic.
Is yourself. Yeah, is yourself.
Yeah. Where does that come from for you?
Dude, I don't know. Like, I would always wanted to start a business, but I'd have to depend on other people. Like, oh, we need some guy to code this app idea that we have. This was the first time that I had all the skills in my arsenal to build something without anyone's help. And that was the coolest thing because I didn't have to depend on anybody. And then over time, you realize that you need to surround yourself with extremely smart people to build something huge. And it goes so much beyond yourself. Like, you have to be a good leader and a good delegator. And that's the skill that I've learned more of over time, but I'm still not very good at, is like trusting people and watching people get better, even if it's a little slow. That's been a really gratifying process to be a team leader and like an incredible team, dude. Like, I just brought on a COO, Simran, who is just so smart and talented and so honored that he joined the company and is going to quit his job to join us, you know, his, you know, cushy pharmaceutical job. And, you know, we've got, you know, I've got the best intern in the world who's now my VP of content, who hit me up on Instagram a year ago, and she's just so brilliant. And Jackson, who's our new creator, and, you know, we have these video editors who are just so fucking good. So I love it. And I can't wait to keep bringing on more people and over time and, like, you know, keep making this thing more better and more efficient and more streamlined, like, keep pouring the revenues back into the cycle of the system and keep building this fortuitous system to like really scale and exponentially what I'm doing.
Where does the revenue come from mainly at this time? I saw some with my first million, some sponsored stuff like that.
Yeah, it's brand sponsorships. You know, we do like a little bit of consulting just for supplement, but the money comes from advertising and deploying integrations with advertisers in our content because it's so natural. You know, we have like unparalleled integration abilities, and we convert and we tell these amazing stories for brands, and they spark the videos, and they run them on their own socials, and you know, it's a really great model. And you know, we want to keep doing that, and it's going to be our main source of revenue for the foreseeable future.
How do you figure out like how to price that or what to price that?
You just price dirt cheap. You price dirt cheap at first. You price so you underprice, and then you learn the art of advertising and doing brand deals, and you gain more confidence, and you quote fat numbers once you enough confidence.
Sounds like a plan. Speaking of fat numbers, Web3 and the NFT space are coming strong, and I'm curious if our future has any plans to drop an NFT or to play in the Web3 space at all, considering it's so native to Gen Z.
Yeah, dude, we've talked with a few NFT projects about taking a stake in exchange for promotion. We'd like to be able to do our own project for our own community, not just promote somebody else's. I'm excited about it for the most part. What's interesting is we're going to be launching an RFU crypto vertical in the next few months. Once we come down with our fundraise, we're going to be hiring someone to do that. And that'll be an incredible content vertical where some kid is going to be just talking about crypto all day. And that's when we'll be able to bring more people into the brand who love that stuff. Right now we have a lot of, we're just a kind of a general business brand. We want to get more ingratiated with that space. So yeah, I mean, you know, we'd like to be able to do our own NFT project sometime in the future, obviously cover more crypto content, and explore decentralization on the long term, whether it's, you know, certain communities under each vertical of our future and exclusive events, merchandise, et cetera. You know, I think we have like a big audience and a good brand, and like, that's pretty much all you need to do a good NFT project. Like, a lot of these NFT projects that are popping up, just know like brand, like people look at our future and they see what, like, hundreds of original videos and like all these subscribers and these premium brands that integrate with us. And they're like, well, you know, that's credibility enough to do an NFT project. And then of course, all the marketing you have for free. So would like to do it.
Yeah. And what about your thoughts on NFTs as a whole in general?
I think they're cool. I think, you know, for like a media company, like doing an NFT or a DAO, and then people get exclusive benefits and perks. Mm. You know, I think if anybody looked at what we're doing, there's no doubt that they would want to buy in to what we're building here. If we had the right messaging and the right roadmap, and we had a community manager to manage, you know, the Discord and whatever. So I'm interested and excited by it. But really, like, my focus is building, like, you know, a really, really big media channel, really, really big audience, instead of going like really with a more loyal set of like coin holders. Yeah. So I want to do that. But like right now, I'm just focused on building the biggest possible audience and really just trying to build the biggest brand around business content so we can build a moat. Because like the only thing you have in media is brand. You know, there's nothing else. Like, anybody can copy you unless it's word for word. It's not copyright. People copy you all the time. People are the style is not protectable. There's no IP. It's the brand. And that is what matters. So my focus is on building that instead of focusing on, you know, building like a small loyal community. Right.
Yeah.
But once we are big enough and that's running on autopilot, we've got all these creators and this huge audience and like, it's just going and going and going, then I'll spend more time on a decentralized strategy for the loyalists.
Nice. I like that. And
yeah,
I feel like that's going to be the next time you start running around the track is when you drop that NFT. Oh my God, this is crazy. This is going, and you'll start to see it.
It might. We got to figure out what's going to get me going around the track, man. I need to stop. You know, I need to cut some weight.
You've been typing away at that script for so long. You need to find something else. That there's nothing like that first time that you realize what you're doing is going to change the way you do things in the future. And so yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. We're a brand. We're called Our Future. There's no way that we can't be bound to the hip with blockchain in some way. So people give me a little flack for it. I don't cover it a lot. Yeah, I know. You know, I'm more of a, I like my general business and marketing and strategy, but I'm warming up to it. So for anyone listening, it's coming.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of those clips would pop off too. But speaking about the way in which the world is going to go,
yeah.
You see TikTok right now, you see YouTube Shorts. Where's the biggest opportunity right now for you guys as well as a creator that's just coming up on the rise?
For everyone, the opportunity is on short form. It's because long form is just impossible to build an audience on because the commitment for the viewer is way too high. They just have way too many options. And once they select one of those options, they're instantly canceling out the odds of clicking on other content. I feel like people only have room in their heads for like a few long form creators and TV shows and, you know, podcasts. They only have like, they have a limited inventory for it, you know, but with short form, you have pretty much, you have a way wider range of offerings. So like in 150 minutes of TikTok, you might see, you know, 150, 200 different pieces of content. And you know, that gives that. And if you can be one of the 150 instead of one of being one of 150 is a lot, being in a group of 150 people is a lot better than being in a group of three people. I don't even know how to describe that, but like, yeah.
Well, three people where you're zero out of three. Is less
zero
than
out of three or one out of 150.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, because there's only three slots open for that long form YouTube video that someone might be watching at night or in the day. But there's 150 slots open in that same period of time for the short form.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
it does
where,
to me.
That's where all the spend is going. That's where all the attention is. So the eyeballs are. It's where everything is. So everything, you know, I enjoyed the podcast. You know, this is fucking amazing. This is so sick.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to go where the audience is.
Yes. And that's what I'm slowly realizing. And
I miss it. I miss this so much, dude.
I don't think it's either or. I mean, maybe it is if you're putting out three clips a day and you're going hard at it, which maybe I'll find out soon enough. But I want to have my cake and eat it too. And I want the deep connection and realness with somebody. And I also want to start doing these in person and really connecting with people. And
yeah,
I look at when you have an audience, though, it's so much easier to convince people, yo, come on this podcast, because you have an audience.
Yeah, dude. For me, it was just biting the bullet and getting rid of that connection in the media and that real quality you know, content and that deep content and just go with, you know, the big audience. And it's just like everyone needs to start on short form and then kind of like build their brand and then go from there. But you know, there isn't just one way to do it. It's just like, you got to find like something that works and you enjoy. But I would also just say, it's gotta be something that works, right? Like something that's actually growing.
Yeah.
Because as fun as it is to do just for fun and to build your network, you know, I don't know, for some people that works. Like, I don't know, it worked for me. Like, I really enjoyed it. Didn't care about making any money for a year and a half. And really longer than that.
And then for it you, hits a like, point.
Yeah, I mean, for you, yeah. I mean, I don't even graduate till April. Like, I don't even need to pay myself a salary until then. But, like, for you, like, what I would do is try and monetize the podcast as it is, through affiliate, through sponsorships, you know, through merch, whatever. Get it to, you know, a decent MRR of like a few hundred to a few thousand a month, and then reinvest that into a system wherein people can take your content and turn it into short bits. And you can hire a guest outreach booker. You can just build a system around what you're doing. So you, Danny, can focus on being the best interviewer in the world. And the whole growth is kind of just going.
What do you say to Joe Rogan, who still books his own guests?
Does he book all of them individually?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
everyone has their own way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I would select the guest, but I wouldn't, you know, maybe it would make more sense. I mean, for you to, not send the emails. I mean, everyone's going to reply to Joe Rogan, you know, not that many people were responding to me.
Yeah. But it seems like a lot of people were responding to you and a lot of high level people. And it was boosting the ego a bit. I heard you in previous interviews, how I really self-aware comment by you was about how you felt as if some part of you just wanted to be seen with those people. And that was part of the reason for doing it. And I was like, wow, that's a really self-aware take from somebody who put out 150 podcast episodes. And so how'd you come to that conclusion?
I don't specifically remember saying that, but like, dude, I was the kid who went to the keynote and then spoke with the person after. Like, I always wanted to ask a question and like a really frame, like a really eloquent question, and have everyone be like, wow, what a fucking question. So I just like made a podcast. Of course I did.
That's funny. I was never that kid, but I appreciate it. No, and I respect it because, you know, you want it to feel seen and you wanted other people to see you, and you knew that you had things in your mind that you were able to take what somebody said and was able to phrase it in a way that would help them learn something else or maybe help you look good in a particular moment.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Exactly. I didn't feel like my external environment was matching up to my personal capabilities. I feel like I've always been trying to like prove something, and it's not even like people have wronged me. It's just like, I want to be so good. Like, I don't know. I just want to be a beast. It's not even that people have wronged me. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, we want to, you know, do cool things and like, you know, just stand out. Like when I arrived at Michigan, I was rejected from like every frat, every club, every business club. Like being a business head, like I didn't get it. I went to business school and I'd like, nobody would like accept me into their orgs. I realized that I'm someone who builds his own orgs and builds his own communities and builds his own ends. So natural leader, but you know, found it hard to like integrate with existing groups and always felt like, you know, why aren't these people like letting me in or whatever? So yeah, I felt like my external environment. And so I went home and I was like, shit, like everyone's at home. How can I now use this opportunity to get as big as I can and as influential as possible?
Well, you're on your way, but I'm curious about diving deeper into that. Have you done any inner work, journaling, therapy, meditation? Do I say those words and you're like, like get me out of here? Like,
like no. No, not get me out of here. I don't know, man. I don't think I've been that in touch with like with the self. I think I just love getting shit done and growing and building something, and then just being a part of the journey and just like being one with the journey, and just like I love just like having an idea and seeing it come, like seeing it implemented and showing results in the same day.
Yeah.
So I'm like right now, like I found like my content on TikTok to be losing some steam. So like I've made a pivot where I'm waking up early and now I'm recording news-based stories. So it's like
news-based stories. What'd you say?
News-based news. Just cover the news.
Oh, news-based.
Because a lot of the stuff we do is past. Yeah. So just want to be more of a futuristic company. So it's like, I can't wait to see that first, you know, thing drop today. Cause like the guy's been working on it all day. I can't wait until he's done with it. So I love just implementing new ideas and just, I love new ideas. Like I honestly I'm fall for them sometimes too fast. And then I end up regretting it, or I committed to something that I didn't really do. But I love new ideas and just like thinking all day about like, how can I actually make something happen? How can I get stuff done? So I don't think a lot about, I don't look introspectively that much.
But it does seem like some part of you is very self-aware.
You think so?
Because it took some self-awareness.
I hope I'm self-aware.
It took some self-awareness to say, oh, I was super pushing this podcast on people when I first started. Right? An unself-aware person would not realize that.
I guess so. I think I am. I can have some self-awareness, but it always happens like after.
Retroactively.
Yeah. It always happens after, and like a while after you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? But you always have 2020 vision, 2020 hindsight. I think the reason I wanted to start our future in a way and from a sense was to be seen and to have my talents appreciated in the world that I knew that I had. But then after a certain period of time, after the running around the track thing ended, it was all that energy I was getting from running around the track was feeling like I was being seen and appreciated by the world. And then stops and you realize this is something you're doing for yourself. Like, this is what I like to do. And your pool of validation switches from how you think other people are looking at you to how you source your sense of self-worth. And I was able to source that through my career, my job, my work.
What about,
like, this is my identity. This brand is the most genuine expression of me as a person and a human being, my interests, myself, my voice, my enthusiasm, all of it. It's just, it's centralized into this career, like this company, this brand, and I can be confident in that and like not have to worry about not being myself, because this is me.
What do you think about getting, you spoke about how this is you and putting the work out. And then what if people don't like it? What if it's not performing as well as you want it to perform or previous content has performed? Now, is it from your perspective that your self-worth is lower?
No, just adapt and innovate. It's not your problem. It's not their fault that they're not watching your videos. It's your fault that those videos aren't designed in a way and aren't, you know, that design isn't implemented over a long period of time. You're never like, even if you design a perfect video without like any audience, like it's unexpected to blow up. It's got to be a great deal of quality of that content over a good chunk of time. And then the compounding interest thing happens.
Yeah. What's an appropriate length of time for an experiment? You did the podcast for 150 episodes. Do you wish that you pivoted earlier? Are you happy with the amount that you did? Like, take me through the appropriate time.
Everybody's got to start somewhere, dude. I look back and I'm like, dude, what if I was doing this thing a year earlier, a year and a half earlier, when the TikTok algo was hitting and you could get 100,000 followers off one video? There's a part of me that wishes I started earlier. As far as, like, maybe I should have started fucking school. You know what I'm saying? But like, everybody has to start somewhere. You got to start, you got to get the momentum going, you got to fall in love, and then you refine, and then you strategize. But the goal is to fall into something so blindly that you're just so in love with it and you grind on it nonstop, that, you know, it carries you to the next destination, or it carries you to the next logical move, to you know, scale whatever you're doing.
When's the podcast going to come back?
I don't know, dude. I mean, I definitely enjoy the podcast. I definitely enjoyed it a lot, but you know, you can keep your eye on that for some time in the near future. Don't have necessarily a date on it. I did ask Cuban, I was cold emailing him about the business, and I did ask him to jump on a interview with me. Haven't heard back, but Mark Lohr as well, the diapers.com guy, I reached out to him for an investing thing, and his publicist made back. I'm like, you know what, whatever, will you do an interview with me? So now I'm like, I just because I had the opportunity, there's no way I couldn't like ask, because I would bring it back if I had like the right guest.
That would, a couple of guests to look out
work,
for.
Work my, I have to listen to a few of your pods to get back in the interview mindset.
No, honestly, I'd recommend,
because you're a damn good interviewer, bro. I've been on so many podcasts, dude. Like, and it's just like so bad. This is the best podcast that I've ever been interviewed on.
Thank you. It's the best I appreciate that. I recommend you do a couple yourself before, because I find personally when I have a long period without doing any, and then you put Mark Cuban in front of me, I better get some reps under my belt before I do.
You better. Yeah.
But speaking of big names, Sam Parr called you out of the blue. Take me through that phone call.
Did he call me out of the blue? I had his number. I found his number online, and I texted him out of the blue like a year and a half ago. It was right when the Hustle was getting sold. Yeah, I was like, yo, will you do an interview with me? I kept following up with him because he wouldn't respond, blah, blah, blah. Tried to get an interview. Didn't get an interview. But then I heard the MFM Clips Challenge, and I was like, shit, like, this is a great opportunity. I want to get on these guys' good side. And now I'm like, now they're talking about me on the pod. Like, it's sick. Yep. Like, it's dope. They talked about me on My First Million the other day, and people were sending it to me. And it's just like, damn, you go from hearing a pod. This is why I am who I am. I was listening to that podcast. He said $5,000 to make us go viral on TikTok. I thought in my head, shit. Okay, that's 5K MRR. Yeah, okay. So not 5K one time. That's a 5K. That's 5K a month. I'm just gonna make 5K a month. Sweet, this be easy. You know, and I have the right team and the right talent, and we put it into motion, and we won by a long shot. And now I work tech to him all the time, and he's connected me to other clients, and they talk about me on the pod, and I got Sean emailing me, and it's sick, dude. It's dope. You know, just like, find a way to provide value to your heroes.
Yeah. And so he was saying you were this cocky kid on the podcast. what was that phone call actually like?
I don't know. I think Sam is like, he appreciates the hustle. Like, I'm definitely a hustler, you know, talked about what I was up to and like, you know, I'm going to get this deal. And he just saw the spark in the fire. And I think I kind of saw, like, he's like, dude, you're like a younger version of myself. So it's been pretty cool to have Sam as kind of like a mentor in some situations so far. I met with him twice now, once on FaceTime, once on Zoom. And I think he fucks with me and he rides for me. So, you know, that's what, you know, it's really cool. He's like an incredible guy, such a smart, cool guy. And super happy to have had the chance to connect with him.
Yeah, it's crazy because Sam Parr built a media company in The Hustle. You have Alex Lieberman following you on one of the platforms. I saw Alex Lieb follows you. That's pretty cool. He built another massive platform from Michigan as well.
Both Austin and Alex. Yeah, both Austin and Alex reached out and said they loved the videos. So
that's crazy.
How your industry idols find and study your work is really, really crazy. Because like, I was always trying to do what they did. Like, they're the reason I do what I do in a sense. Like, I always wanted to be in the space. I always love what they did with business content. I'm like, oh, this is so me. Like, I love this stuff. So I ended up doing my own version of it. And when they have belief and they enjoy that, it's like a huge point of validation when they're, you know, tweeting about you and talking about you.
You know what I see another similarity, and just what I love so much is communication and how people communicate. And I realized that Sam Parr, Alex Lieberman, all they were doing via writing is communication. All you're doing via your clips is communication. And I realized I study communicators. Like, that's what I love, and those are the people I love. Is that also true for you?
That's a really cool way to describe it. I don't think about it through the lens of communication. I think about it more through innovation. So like taking content that would otherwise be a little flat and making it really fun. That because business, I would read the Wall Street Journal cover to cover, and I always thought I could do a better job of, like, say, reading a story in the journal and then explaining to my friend. So, you know, there's some DNA there for the brand.
Yeah, that's literally what you do.
That's what Lieberman did too. Though he was at Michigan, he read the journal and should do something better. Same with Robinhood Snacks guys and Sam. Yeah, they all did the same thing. Just brought better voice to better made better content. In business.
What do your friends say about all this?
I think I get put on a pedestal a little bit, but sometimes I get embarrassed.
What do you get embarrassed by? You know,
as much as I say that I love the attention, like, I sometimes don't like when there's a lot of, like, eyes on me, or like really like getting, like, complimented or overly or whatever. Like, there was a point where I was the profile photo of the Michigan Business School's group chat, like every kid in the grade, you know, and they're all making, you know, all talking about me, and like, you know, a lot of people know me, and people walk up to me who I've never met before, like today, and, you know, say, "Hey, I'll follow you." But, you know, sometimes that just, you know, I don't like to flex. I don't like to talk about what I'm doing. And I always enjoy just like being like you and just asking other people and just letting them talk and guiding the conversation. Even though deep down I might enjoy like the attention and like that, but like, I don't know. Don't always like it. Sometimes it makes me feel weird. I don't want people to talking about me. As much as I want to be like, you know, like well known and stuff, like it's also like, dude, you don't need to like. There don't need to be too much smoke blown. It's not that crazy.
Do you feel like people are making fun of you as the profile of the group chat, or is it like we want to be like this?
It wasn't making fun of me. It was more like, this kid is fucking, you know, like iconic. I don't know. I mean, that's how it was. Like, this kid's crazy. Like, this kid is like, everyone's getting a job and this kid's trying to build a media company.
Yeah.
And we all see it on our phones like every day.
What's it like when somebody comes up to you?
It's cool, dude. I always like, just try to, you know, be like super nice and like, super kind and like thank them and like deflect and immediately begin learning more about them.
How many times has that happened to you so far?
I mean, like, yeah, a good amount of times. I mean, because it's a relatively small, like, you know, there's Michigan, right? Like, of course people are going to get exposed to my content through the algorithms. And then, you know, they know me through the school and then a friend of a friend and Greek life and whatever. So, like, you know, I don't know. It's happened a good amount of times. Just because I'm here on campus. Like, it wouldn't happen if I was walking around the streets of LA. But, like, here, like, you feel like, especially because all my friends are, like, most of the kids here aren't going to entrepreneurship. They're all going to corporate jobs. So, I think it's cool to have, I take a lot of pride in being someone who's going the other way and being able to tell kids, hey, this is a path you can take. You can do your own thing. You don't need to subscribe to other people's communities and brands. And you don't need to let yourself be judged by others. And that's something I decided in freshman year of college, that I would never let like a piece of paper decide what I could do and what I could achieve, or I'd never let some gatekeeper decide that. So I like to preach that. And I get a lot of confidence and sense of self from being the guy doing the different thing. I always like to be the guy who's doing a different thing, being different.
Yeah. Speaking of just the judgment, did you judge yourself at all before putting content online of yourself, of your face to the camera? Was there any trepidation or fear?
No. I've always been like, I'd say relatively confident. So I'm never second guessing. Oh, did you know? Sometimes I have acne in my videos, or my hair is too long, or whatever. But like, you know, I don't get stuck up on that. I don't. I'm not like a model or anything. I'm just, you know, a journalist or content creator, I guess.
Yeah.
There's never any fear. I don't know. Do you have that?
I don't think I had it initially. I have no fear now, but I always preferred writing. And when I look back on that, I was like, oh, I was scared to put myself out there to actually speak to the camera, to be in front of the camera. When I do this now, though, it's gone from doing it 100+ times, you know?
I was always a guy who was comfortable in front of the camera and in front of an audience for the most part. But that first podcast I did, I don't think I liked my voice. And like, but then it was after the first one that I got over it. And I was like, my voice is my voice. And people say it's a good radio voice. So we're good.
Yeah. Same here.
You're good. Just get over it. The first podcast, you have a little nervous.
Yeah. Well, I think I covered everything I want to talk about. Any final
where
pieces?
Are you based?
I'm New
where
York.
Are you based? New York? Are you in college?
No. I'm 26.
No? Believe
it or not. Yeah.
I thought we were the same age.
I mean, we look the same age, so.
Yeah, you look young.
Yeah.
Okay, New York, age 26, and your goal with this podcast, phenomenal. You're a phenomenal interviewer and very, very attentive and very talented interviewer. Were you always like that? Were you, you know, do you do a lot of studying of other interviewers? Is it just a natural talent? You just always been a good listener or what?
A lot of studying of other interviewers, but also just a deep curiosity for knowledge. Like in previous episodes you did, I heard you say, I just have a thirst and a curiosity for knowledge. And I was like, yes, that's what makes a good interviewer. You need a curiosity for what makes somebody the way they are. And I've studied a lot. And I mean, I've done it 200 times. You do something 200 times, you're going to improve something quite a bit.
Yeah. Dude, for sure. Yeah, you're a really good listener. There wasn't really any word that missed you that I said. And you did like such a phenomenal job. And like the fact that you knew that I met Elon and you did journalism, it's all like it's more research than I think any time I've been interviewed. It's very cool and very, very makes you feel very special. So what's the goal? So are you just doing this and you're enjoying the grind, you're enjoying the flow? I mean, you've done 200 episodes, more than I did. When did you start it?
I started it in September of 2020. So around the same time you started yours.
September 2020. Yeah, I started May 2020. So what are you looking at now? Like what is your vision for this? What is your vision for yourself?
I wanted this to be the biggest podcast in the world. I want to, you know, just massive like you, same massive vision. I feel like I have some talent. I have work ethic. But you know, I haven't seen the traction that I want.
Yes.
And so I'm like, what's going on? Am I not good? Is what's going, like, you know, like you start to question when the views don't equal what your talent is. You're like, what's up with this? So that's kind of in the stage that I'm at right now.
But you're like me in that you never let it affect you.
Correct.
I know, never upset about the amount of people. I was just like, it's going to be huge one day.
Exactly.
But like the reason I stopped the pod is just because I just had less path for it than doing these little stories. Like I just found something I enjoyed a little bit more. I think I really enjoyed controlling the narrative instead of having someone else's narrative be what I depended on for good content. You know, I depend on a good clip. I depend on something they said, or I depend on a very well-known person responding to my email. And this enabled me to control my media narrative.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I realized when I was writing my scripts. I was like, oh my God, I get to choose the story here. This is crazy. This is exciting for me. But at the same time.
Fuck,
it's cool. But at the same
time. You control the narrative. I mean, you can't depend on clips like for people who are saying things that aren't you, low key.
Yeah,
but what you can do is design around it. Like I used to design around a certain segment at the end of every interview, and it would just be like five questions that I knew would do well if it was in a TikTok interview. Mm-hmm. So if you're interviewing like a famous founder or something, and like you're in the last 5 minutes, you're like, hey, I have five questions for you, five quick fires. And that could all turn into really great TikTok content, whether it's like your daily routine or like, you know, what you do for fun or I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's not a bad
idea. Optimize for it. Optimize for clips, dude. Optimize for clips. Yeah. That's like the way you're going to grow.
There's one part of me that's like optimize for clips. There's another part of me that's like just have the conversation you want to have and the clips and the views will come.
How do you feel about that? I think you got to engineer for where the audience is. And you should be very mindful of that. Like, you can have a lot of faith in yourself that it's going to be a great component. It is, but you need to make sure that there's those bites that, and like, it saves you time too. Cause like, you don't have all day to rewatch the interview and find what you want to reuse. Mm-hmm. You should be like, oh, just go to the end of the interview and I've got everything I need there. So it's for me, like I guess thinking about it from an efficiency perspective. And I want you to think more like that because that's how you're going to scale from when you think more from an efficiency perspective.
I appreciate that.
Even if it dilutes, even if it incenses, you're ashamed because you're like, oh, I'm selling out to some algorithm or whatever, and I'm not being myself. I'm asking questions I don't care about just so I could potentially get views. I think podcasting is extremely hard, and you know that, and building the audience. But the key really is you know, trying to build that short form audience, short form clips. So you watch. Just watch anybody who's winning on TikTok with their clips. Look at My First Million. We do that. We do My First Million cuts. It's great. You get so many views. We did 35K on TikTok and like, do you see those? Bojan does those.
Yeah, so good. Bro, but I'm so curious how your podcast would do with the audience that you've built.
Yeah, dude, it would probably do better. Yeah, because we have the YouTube audience. We have the YouTube community. They're all very engaged and they would get notifications and stuff. So. I'm sure it would do well. I just don't know if it's the right use of my time right now.
Right. No, that,
like
that
I really totally do believe sense. That the right content is short form. Like everything should be short form.
Yeah. I'm with you, but I feel like it's also barbell in the sense that it right now it's swinging so, so hard towards short form, but at another point people are going to be like, yo, I need longer form things because my attention is getting drained and so I'm going to need denser information. It's kind of how I think Joe Rogan and Tim
Ferriss. People always need that dense information. But then again, those guys just monopolize that. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's way fewer slots for the density.
Right? And they monopolize it because they've been doing it for 8 and 10 years.
Yeah, there's 3 slots in the person's brain for you. Or there's, you know, you can be one of 150, like I said. It's a lot easier to be one of 150 and then hopefully win more people over to getting you in their top 3.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
Such a grind, dude. It's just such a grind. You seem so motivated and intrinsically motivated to be a huge podcaster that I have no doubt that you will be one. But yeah, you'll need to find a way to scale faster than it's going to take you organically, which is going to be, might take a while. Right, to just go pure audio or pure video, and you got to find like those growth strats that are going to make you want to run around the track, right? And then go keep optimizing on those, keep scaling on those.
Yeah, well, having conversations like this makes me want to run around the track. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day writing these scripts and filming these videos. Where can people connect with you further, Mike?
Hit us up, check out the TikTok, Our Future Stories. We have a second TikTok page, Our Future Bites, all one word. Check us out on YouTube, Our Future. Check me out on LinkedIn, Michael Second. Instagram, Michael Second. Of course, Our Future on Instagram. Check out our content. You might not even know what we're talking about here. Maybe you've seen it before and you didn't know who it was, but here I am. And, check it out and, let me know what you think and feel free to hit me up with any questions.
Something tells me you've said that once or twice before. Thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it. Really insightful. And hopefully we'll continue to see the rise and the growth of Our Future and Michael Second.
And Danny Miranda, man. Cheers to you, man. Fighting the good fight. Can't wait to see you grind.
Yes, sir. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Michael. If you have any feedback about this episode,
let me know on Twitter at HeyDannyMiranda. And if you enjoyed it, share it with somebody you think who would enjoy business or journalism or any of the topics we covered. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day or night, and I will see you in the next episode. Peace.